A lot of people, when we talked about writing notes, listen, I'm not going to throw stones if you don't, but I do want to say this. We talked about this on Wednesday. Some people have said to me, well, you know, Pastor, I don't write notes because I don't look at them after the sermon anyways. I said, that's not the point. The point is this. When you write something down, here's what it does. It drives home the point anymore. It forces you to have extended thought about that nugget, and you write it down. And it gets deeper into your heart. That's the purpose of taking notes. I don't care if you look at it later or not. But when you write notes, it drives it home deeper into your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Because here's the deal. How many of you know this? You can hear something without any effort. Right? You can hear me preach. There's no effort. You're just kind of sitting there. Maybe you'll doze off, whatever it is. But you're not going to doze off writing down little nuggets that's being said. Amen? All right, again, if you do it, great. If you don't, it's up to you. I'm just telling you the importance and what it does. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter 7. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who don't take notes in Pastor James' sermon. All right, Matthew 7, verses 21 through 28, I want to look at here. And this is Jesus doing the speaking here. Matthew 7, 21 through 28. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who, underline it, practice lawlessness. Say practice. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, Jesus didn't go to seminary. I'm just kidding. I like that one. Listen to this. Today, I want to talk about the one major golden key to unlocking and living a prosperous life on this earth as a Christian. I'm talking to Christians today, because what do here at Living Waters Chapel? We make disciples. So I'm talking to Christians today. Amen? This is the one thing, the secret, the central point of every blessing that you have ever received or will ever receive in your life. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the powerful effectiveness of the Word of God as the foundation of everything you do in your life. That's the golden key. Amen? Like I just talked about, if you want to take God into the battle, there better be the Word of God connected to every area of your life. The Word of God must be the very foundation of everything we think, say, and do. Amen? Think, say, and do. Guess what that covers? That covers every area of our life. Say that with me. Think, say, and do. Hallelujah. The Word of God is the very rock that we are to build every area of our life upon. Now, I want to want you to notice in this passage that I just read that right before Jesus talks about building our life on the rock, on his commands, on the Word of God, you want to know what he talked about? He talked about people coming to him and saying, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that in your name. And Jesus, it says this, that he, Jesus, will say to many, say many. Many. That means a lot. And Jesus will say to many people, listen to me, that thought they were Christians. This is not to the unbeliever. This is to people who thought they were Christians. And it says, so Jesus will say to many people who thought they were Christians, they thought they were good to go, Jesus will say these words that you never want to hear from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or sin. There's a difference between messing up, and there's another difference between practicing it, making it a lifestyle. Are you following me? So listen to this. So to build, don't worry, I'm going to move on from that. Can you guys smile at me right now? Smile at me. Okay, great. So to build our life on the rock, we need to do this according to this passage. We need to hear the word, and we need to know the word of God. You know, it's possible to hear the word and not know it. Are you following me? We need to hear the word of God. We need to know the word of God. And then we need to practice the word of God. We need to make a lifestyle of the word of God, not a practice of sin or a lifestyle of sin. We need to practice the commands in the word of God. Amen? We must obey the word of God. So if you live a life of obedience as a Christian, obedience to the word, obedience to the Holy Spirit, the word of God calls you wise. How many want to be wise in here? Come on, how about you watching around the world? You want to be wise, amen? But listen to this, but those that hear the word of God, knows the word of God, and does not obey it, or do not put it into action into their life, you know what they're called? Fools. Foolish. We're talking about fools on Wednesday nights right now. We got a whole list of what the Bible says, and we're just running down the list of scriptures that talk about fools and foolishness, because we don't want to be fools, amen? But I want you to notice something here in this passage that I read. Jesus said that the rains, the floods, and the strong winds would affect both the wise person and the foolish person. Did you notice that? It doesn't say the wise person will never have storms. Those will come to all of us. Amen? But the wise person's house was protected, and the foolish person's house was destroyed. Our life on this earth, listen to this. Here's where I'm just going to start dropping nuggets at you for the rest of this message. Get ready. Are you ready? Our life on this earth is simply a manifestation of the decisions we make every day. And those decisions, listen to me, those decisions that we make can be put into two categories, wise and foolish. And here's, listen to this. The condition of our life right now at this very moment depends on what one of those two categories are winning in your life. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. What category is winning in your life? The wisdom section category or the foolish? If you are exercising self-control, wise decisions are winning. If you are lacking self-control, I guarantee you foolishness is overtaking your life right now. And there's a manifestation of that foolishness, or there's a manifestation of that wisdom. Two categories, wise and foolish. The manifestation and outcome of your life comes down to this one important truth. Are you ready for this? How you perceive, how much you value, and how much value you place on the written word of God in your life. That will determine if your life will be destroyed or if your life will be protected when the storm comes. Listen to this. You give your heart and time to what you cherish and value in your life. Oh, let me say it again. You give your heart and time to what you cherish and value in your life. If you truly cherish and value the Word of God in your life, it will influence, the Word of God will influence what you think, say, and do. So we must hear the Word of God. We must fill our heart with it, and then we must obey it, put it into practice. Now, the Word of God gives us a clear warning in James chapter 1. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I want to look at verses 22 through 25. Oh, this is so good, man. As the Holy Spirit was giving this to me. What did I keep saying after I wrote it? Oh, I can't wait to preach this, man. Oh, so many nuggets. So I preached myself happy just typing this thing from the Holy Ghost. All right? So I hope you guys enjoy it just as much as I did. Now, James 1, 22 through 25. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and," here's the key, "continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So God is revealing something very key and important to living a life of obedience to him. Now let me ask you guys a question, all right? Have you ever deceived someone in your life? Have you? Right? Some of y'all probably did it this morning. Right? We've all deceived someone at times at some point in our life. Now listen to this. When we deceived those individuals, we knew what we were doing. Amen. We knew it. We knew what we were doing. We knew the truth, but we spun it and we were deceiving them, right? But I want you to really think about how dangerous it is, how lethal it is to deceive ourselves. Oh, listen to me. When we believe a lie, when we lack discernment and spiritual perception and we don't see it, we deceive ourselves. It's one thing for us to know the truth and you're deceiving someone else. But man, how lethal it is when we fall into the trap of self-deception. That means that we are believing, we're in right standing, we're not in right standing with God. We are on a path of danger in our life, and we don't take the time to even think about it. See, when you're in self-deception, we're on a bad path away from God. Amen? Well, you're on a bad path away from him. And here's the problem. You don't know. That's the problem with deception. You don't know when you're in it. And we don't take the time. We don't take the time to think about it, to stop and truly evaluate our thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus said, many will come to him at that end time and call him Lord again, and thinking that they are saved. Why? What's interesting, because they did ministry stuff. But what they didn't stop to evaluate, here's the problem. Are you ready? Here's the problem. They didn't stop to evaluate their sinful character and actions. Here it is. On a personal level. On a personal, say personal level. They thought doing public ministry was an approval from God. While neglecting, here's the key, while neglecting their private life with a heart filled with sin. That's the danger. These were the people that Jesus was telling us about in Matthew chapter 7. So don't ever forget this. Are you ready for this? Please, don't ever forget this. Who you are in private is more important than your public ministry and actions to impress people. Who you are in private, oh, listen to me right now. Who you are in private, will make the determination if you go to heaven for eternity or not. Are you following me? That's it, right there. Your personal life outside from the limelight, from public ministry. See, pride is very deceiving. It will allow you to carry on with your life in false peace while living a life of sin that's separating you from your heavenly Father. And who does that remind you of? It reminds you of Lucifer. Lucifer truly believed that he could be like God. Why? He was blinded by the pride in his heart. Say pride. Pride, listen to this. Pride will blind your spiritual eyes, but humility will keep your spiritual eyes wide open and keep you connected to the truth of God's word. That's what pride and humility is. Forget what the world says pride and humility are. Pride means you're not considering the word of God in your life. Humility is you're considering the word of God with everything you think, say, and do. That's what it is. Pride and humility are a spiritual truth. Amen? So the truth, it will, if you have humility, it will keep you open to the truth of whether or not you are abiding in Christ. You're staying connected to Jesus, connected to the true vine. Amen? But how many of you know, anybody can put a mask on and go to church for a couple hours a week? Amen? Anybody can put a mask on and do that. But what is truly important is this. Are you ready for this? That you can keep yourself accountable when no one's around. Answer this question about yourself. Ready for this? Do you trust yourself enough to be brutally honest with yourself when you start to veer off course spiritually? Do you trust yourself enough? That, you see, that's exactly, we talk about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with how long you've been a Christian. Are you following me? There's people who've been Christians for years and they're still wearing spiritual diapers. But listen to this. True spiritual maturity True spiritual maturity is this. When you can pull yourself back from crossing the line of sin when no one's there to help you. That's spiritual maturity. When you can pull yourself back from sin, from crossing the line into sin without anybody helping you. You're doing it on your own. Oh, hallelujah. That is when the fear of the Lord, say fear of the Lord, that's when the fear of the Lord is active and operating in your life. Listen to this. The fear of the Lord means to reverence him, to respect God in his word. It means to honor and respect his presence so much in your life that you don't want to do anything to grieve him, especially when nobody else is watching. Oh, are you picking up the spirit I'm trying to lay down here? What matters is your personal life. I don't care what you do when there's a group around. I don't care what you do in a church service. I don't care. And God, frankly, God doesn't care either. What he cares about is your personal walk, your private life. See, that is if you can do that, have that self-control when nobody else is around. Listen to me, that is the Christian that will truly be blessed and experience the favor of God to the maximum level on this earth, in this life. See, we are expected to have faith and trust in the Lord. Amen? Do you believe that? Hey, we need to have faith, trust in the Lord. But listen, here's what the Holy Ghost told me. Oh, this is good. Ready? But possessing the fear of the Lord will cause the Holy Spirit to have faith and trust in you. Oh, you didn't hear me. Oh, listen, let me say it one more time. We're expected to have faith and trust in the Lord, but possessing the fear of the Lord will cause the Holy Spirit to have faith and trust in all of you and in me. We must possess the fear of the Lord in our life. It's not an optional thing. The Word of God says this about the fear of the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord, listen to me, is to hate evil. It's the beginning of wisdom, and it's to hate evil. Say hate evil. And that's why the Holy Spirit can trust us when we have the fear of the Lord. Are you ready for this? Because he can trust you. The Holy Spirit can trust you and I with greater kingdom blessings. He can trust us with the kingdom of God when we possess the fear of the Lord, because we have wisdom and we hate evil. That's why the Holy Spirit can trust us. See, to be able to hate evil in our life, we must be able to identify what evil is. You agree with that? Well, the Word of God gives us the knowledge of what evil is and what to avoid in our life. Amen? Now, some of you are saying, well, I don't need the Word of God to see if something's just flat out evil. And you know what? Yeah, you're probably, that's true, right? The real blatant things. But here's what the Holy Spirit brought to my attention. He said, some things are evil that aren't very obvious. Listen to me. Anything, this is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, anything outside of the will of God in general and for our life specifically is evil. Are you following me? Anything outside of the will of God in general, what the Word says, and the will of God for our life that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, anything outside of the boundaries of those things is considered evil. See, we just slap evil on witchcraft, the occult, all the big heavy hitters. I'm lowering that bar right now. And I'm saying anything that's not the will of God, you need to stay away from it, and it's evil. And they're not very obvious. John Bevere has a book. What is it? He says, is it good or is it God? If it's not God, it's not good enough. Amen? Now, think of the fear of the Lord this way. For some reason, this flooded my spirit when I was writing this about the fear of the Lord. Think of it this way. A spouse. Let's say your spouse goes away with their friends or something on a trip, and your spouse is confronted with temptation to sin, okay? But they are strong enough to say no and avoid it because they fear, respect, love, honor their spouse enough not to do anything that would negatively affect that marriage covenant. Are you following me? Even if the other spouse would never find out. Are you following me? Yeah. Even though it would be done in secret, that other spouse would never. No, the fear of that relationship or the respect and love causes that other spouse to say no to that temptation. The fear of the Lord is tested and proven, listen to me, when sin is avoided for this one reason. One reason. I don't want to do anything that would come between me and my Heavenly Father. I don't want to do anything that would come between me and my Heavenly Father. That Christian truly loves and honors the Lord Jesus Christ for his amazing sacrifice to shed his blood, to redeem us, amen, and for us to have power to overcome the temptation of sin. So the fear of the Lord also operates this way. It's a test to see if you truly have the fear of the Lord in your life. You want to know? You're like, how do I know if I really have the fear of the Lord in my life? I'm going to give you a little test right now, right? Here it goes. If it would grieve the Holy Spirit, it should grieve you. If you're doing something, you're into something, you know's against the Word, you feel the grief of you're sensing the Holy Spirit's not happy with this, and you pursue it anyways, you don't have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is inactive. Say inactive in your life. See, my relationship with my Heavenly Father carries more weight. This is what the fear of the Lord does. My relationship with my Heavenly Father carries more weight with me than the pleasure of sin for a season. Are you following me? Sin only brings pleasure for a season, but there's a payday that's going to come. You ever hear that line? Your sin will surely find you out. It will. right? I mean, you can look at all the exposure that's happening in the body of Christ, in government. They think they were going under the radar doing this stuff, and all of a sudden, things are blowing up on media about all these things. People you never would have thought would have been involved with some of these things. Boom! Our sin will find us out. See, James 1 reveals that we can deceive ourselves. And that should put us all on high spiritual alert this morning. It should put us in a place where we want to avoid that scenario at all costs. Amen? You with me on that? Again, the deception is this. It's hearing the word of God and not being a doer of it, not obeying it. You could say it this way. Let's drag it a little bit deeper. Not valuing the word of God enough to allow it to positively affect your life. Because what you cherish, what you value, what you love, you'll give place to it in your life. Right? It goes with anything. I mean, sorry, I couldn't make it, blah, blah, blah. Well, if it was important to you, you would carve out the time to do it. Right? Verse 23 says that it's like self-deception. It's like looking into a mirror and walking away, forgetting what kind of a man or a person you were. That's very interesting because now the Word of God starts talking about the danger of us forgetting our true spiritual identity. That's what it's talking about. You're seeing yourself who we are in Christ, and you walk away and you forget it, and you fall right back into sin. See, you are a new creation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? And we do not have to give in to sin, to the fleshly sinful desires, because we have all the power we need to override sin by walking in the Spirit, right? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, all right? You and I have the power to do that because our spiritual nature has been changed. We've been made righteous. There's power on the inside of us to override sin, amen? Many Christians read and hear the Word of God and they forget who they truly are. And what came to me immediately when I wrote that was the connection in the book of Proverbs where it says, as a man thinks, so is he. So we need to continually think about and remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Amen? How many times have you heard someone who's fallen into deep, dark sin, right? And they say, that's not the real me. That really isn't the real me, right? Well, they're right. If they were born again and they fell into it, that wasn't the real them, but they did it anyways. They're still responsible because you got a free will. Are you following me? So we need to look into the mirror of the Word of God that tells us who we are and never let go of that spiritual truth in our thought life. Because as a man thinks, so is he. All right? So deception opens our heart when we are not meditating on the Word of God, not allowing our heart to truly ponder on what it says and not acting on it. You're not acting on it because you're not thinking about it. All right? Your heart, listen to this. Your heart is always going to be filled with something. Your heart, your imagination, your heart, your thought life is always going to be filled with something. Either you do it, are you ready for this? Or demons will do it for you. Either you take control of your thought life or the kingdom of darkness will do it for you. We must take control of our thought life or else we will be slaves to the negative atmosphere, the negative people that are around us, and yes, even slaves to the kingdom of darkness, the demonic. Peter, get behind me, Satan, right? Are you following me? Don't think for a minute you can't be influenced by a demon. So we need to take control of our thought life. We need to be the responsible, I like to say it this way, we need to be the responsible captain or the gatekeeper of our own heart. All right? We need to guard the gates from any unlawful entry of anything evil from entering our heart, entering our thought life, entering our imagination. And what are those gates? There's two gates. Say two gates. There's two gates that we really need to guard. That's our eye gates and ear gates. Those are the two pathways to our heart. Those are the only two ways, and those are the ones that we need to be diligent on, to guard, and we need to stop any, I like to say it this way, any unlawful entry. Be diligent. Be wise with what you're allowing access into your heart through those two highways. To avoid deception, when reading and hearing the Word of God, we must always have this thought and mindset. Listen to this. Guys, I'm telling you, if we will ask ourselves this one question, it will safeguard us every time. Are you ready? How, when you're reading the Word of God, when you're hearing the Word of God, as I'm preaching today, constantly have this question going on. How can I put what I am hearing and what I'm reading from the Word of God into action and practice in my life? If you will answer that question, and you'll keep that fresh on the inside of you, you will always be alert and you will stop yourself from falling into the deception of sin. How can I put this word that I'm hearing, that I'm reading, into practice in my life? If you will constantly ask yourself that question, again, it will prevent us from deceiving ourselves, okay? That's what we're trying to avoid here. We don't want to fall into self-deception. Very bad thing, right? Because here's the main factor that causes a Christian to be deceived. James 1 talked about it, being a forgetful hearer. Have you ever heard something and your spouse or someone said something and then you're like, yep, yep. And then you're like, what'd you just say? Like literally, I'll do that with Marianne sometimes, like literally 3 seconds, I'll be like, because I was like focusing on something else and she would say something like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, what did she say? and then I'll focus, you know. It's a bad habit. Don't get into it. My goodness. But don't be a forgetful hearer. Say that with me. Don't be a forgetful hearer of the Word of God. So how do we forget something? We get busy and focused on other things and we fail to think about that specific thing, right? That's all it is. It's a shift of focus and we don't go back to it. That's what not remembering something is. We willingly take our focus off of something and fail to put it back on that thing. So guess what? Life is real busy and I get that, right? But here's why. When you get busy during your work day, when you get busy, I want to encourage you, ever so often, just take a moment to willingly shift your thought life to the Word. I don't care if it's just remembering just one verse, Jesus wept. Put it back on the Word somehow. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not trust in my own understanding, but I'll trust in the Lord with all my... So just make little checkpoints during the day of willingly, listen to me, willingly shift your focus on the Word, even if it's just for 30 seconds. Shift it. Say, I'm going to shift it. So you will remember, again, you will remember what is important, what is precious and valuable to you. The Word of God, you could say it this way, the Word of God is spiritual gold. It is. The Word of God is spiritual gold. It is the key that will unlock the blessings of the new covenant in your life. This is it. This is the key. The Word of God is that golden key. It's the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. But some Christians don't realize that. They don't realize it. So here's how you use the golden key of the Word of God. Ready? Very simple. If I could sum it up in a little one sentence. Everything you think, say, and do must be connected to the Word of God. Connect the Word of God to every area of your life. If you want blessing in your life, connect it to the Word of God. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Oh, I love this chapter. The golden ticket. The Word of God is the golden ticket. And all I can think about right now is Willy Wonka. And the devil is Slugworth. That little slime ball. But it all worked out in the end if you watched the movie. I won't give it away. Okay. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says this. Blessed is the man or person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How many want everything you put your hand to, you want it to prosper? Pay attention then. I want you to notice the blessed Christian is the one that, number one, delights in the law of the Lord or the Word of God. He or she delights, takes joy, takes pleasure in hearing, reading, and feeding on the written Word of God. If you don't crave, desire, or delight in the Word of God, this is what the Holy Spirit said. If you don't do any of those things, the Holy Spirit said this. He said, you are living well below your God-given potential on this earth. It starts with delighting in the Word. Judge where you're at right now. Do you delight in the Word? Where are you at? Because if you don't delight in it, you're living way lower. Now, if you delight in it, you get in it. Now the Word says in 1 or 2 Peter 1, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. And it's just going to go and go, go. Yeah. Amen. But it all starts with a desire, a hunger, a realization that this Word is pure gold. And it's a treasure. Amen? Amen? There's a reason why mankind, evil mankind, have been trying to get rid of the Bible for centuries. And they can't do it. Why? Because the Word of God is supernatural. It's not a book made by man. It's the Word of the living God. Amen? Amen. So what do you delight? Listen to this. What you delight in, you won't forget. Think about it. What you delight in, you will not forget. Let's just say you're in a new relationship with someone. You delight in them. You delight in their company, right? You're attracted to them. I mean, you just delight in them so much, and they're on your mind constantly. Constantly. What you delight in, you won't forget. That's the key of remembering. Delight in it. Say, I'm going to delight in the Word of God. See, it's that delight and that joy that causes you to keep something within your remembrance, or you could say it this way, within your focus. Say focus. Because of that desire and delight, because of that, it causes you, here we go, it causes you to meditate on that Word. What you delight in, you will not forget. What you delight in, you will meditate on it. Yep. Again, the best thing I can say is someone, you're in a new relationship. You're constantly meditating on that person. Oh, I can't wait to be with them. Are you following me? We have any couples in here that are in love yet? Just kidding. They're, oh, yeah, I remember that 80 years ago. Yeah. I remember that feeling. Huh? What? Not me. I thought if I used 80 years, it would talk about the ones who've been together longer. Yeah, let's move on, shall we? You get my point, right? Hallelujah. And because of you meditating on the Word of God, it says this. It says something very, very important. Listen to this. Because of your meditation on the Word of God, it says you will be like a tree planted by rivers. Rivers, not by a river, rivers of water. What does that mean? It's an endless supply of provision, blessing, and spiritual nourishment and favor. Now listen to this. Well, I'll tell you. Actually, I'll get you there in a moment. But everything, if you want to get to that place, everything in your life needs to have a connection, a root to the Word of God. I made a comment on Wednesday night at the Bible study that meditation on the Word of God is like a spiritual digestion process. That when you meditate on the Word of God, meditation on something means it's a prolonged thought. Not just a passing thought, it's prolonged thought. And it's like spiritual digestion. Like when you eat something, when you eat food, what does it do? Your body's pulling out the nutrients and sending it to all parts of your body that needs it. So when you meditate on the Word of God, it's pulling the nutrients of the Word and filling in the gaps in the nutrients where you need it in every area of your life. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Word of God's practical for every area of your life. All right? So meditation is a prolonged thought on something. And meditation is an act of your heart. It's an act of your soul, your mind, okay? You got to think on some things. So look at the process that's revealed in this passage. I mean, it's just, this is the Cliff Notes version. Listen to this. Blessed is the man or person that avoids ungodly counsel. Don't go to people that you know have no wisdom in the Word. Are you following me? If you're going to go for counsel, make sure that it's a strong believer in the Word of God, and you can trust that. Amen? And the next one is, avoid having people in your inner circle that would influence you to sin. And you delight in the Word of God, you meditate in the Word of God, and it says that you will be like a strong, stable tree with an endless supply of provision, and they will bear good fruit in their life or in their season. All right? When it says that, think about this. It says in their season. So you might have seasons of your life where you feel like you're not accomplishing much. Are you following me? Have you ever been there? I have. The Word of God is saying this. Stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to God. In those times, don't get discouraged, don't fall away, stay faithful, because if you do these things in your season, the provision's gonna come. Don't give up. Are you following me? And then it says, if you will do that, whatever you do will prosper or be successful. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit showed me something so powerful. This morning, I wrote it down because it came to me. The rivers of living water, you'll be planted. You'll be planted by rivers of living water. Listen to this. The rivers of living water, the rivers of water is talking about this. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you do these things that the Word talks about, it's basically saying you are, come on, positioning yourself with the Holy Spirit to tag team with you in this life. And because of that, everything you do will prosper. Everything you do will blow up in blessing. And God will make you a sign and a wonder to everyone around you. How many of you want to be a sign and a wonder? When people look at you and say, my goodness, they're blessed. Everything they touch turns to gold. Don't you want that? Where you are an example of God's mercy, love, favor, blessing. Like when people look at you and say, they're walking in the blessing of the new covenant. Oh, I want that. That's what we all should be striving for. Amen? Hallelujah. So that is a very short, summed up version of how to live a prosperous life on this earth. Now, based on Psalm 1, we can say this. I'm going to drop some more revelation bombs on you. Get ready. We can say that God cares and is paying very close attention to our attitude and focus in connection to the Word of God. God is paying very close attention to how you handle His Word. How you feel about His Word. How you perceive His Word. In fact, think about this spiritual truth. Are you ready for this? God and the entire kingdom of God Satan and the entire kingdom of darkness, they are both, they are all moved by and respond to only to spoken words and actions that are connected to the Word of God. Are you following me? Oh, listen, listen, listen. If we are going to approach our Heavenly Father with prayer for something, we better have more than our fleshly desires or motives, or even desperation. We better have the Word of God connected. You better have some scripture backing up what you're going to God for. Why? Because the entire kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness respond to the Word of God. I found something out about God. He don't care about our opinion. Can you believe that? He couldn't care less about our opinion. But he says, if you're going to approach me, take my word with you. So you have a solid foundation in backing what you're looking for. If there's no connection to the Word of God, listen to me, are you ready? If there's no connection to the Word of God, there's no connection to the kingdom of God. If there's no connection to the Word of God, there's no connection to the kingdom of God. There must be a connection to the Word of God in every area of your life. I'm telling you, this is something where when you and your wife or in the family, whatever, you guys are sitting around the living room, take the time, shut the TV off, and just start reading the Word of God together. This is spiritual gold. Amen. This will save lives. Are you following me? This book, this word will save lives. We need to plant it in our children. Amen? We need to plant it in our hearts. All right? But James 4:3 says that we can ask amiss, or we can miss the target in our prayers because we are asking for something that's outside of the will of God. We're asking God to give us something and bless something that's outside of His will, and that is not going to fly. We're wasting our time. Amen? So God is moved by our faith in the Word of God, which is also, listen, if some people say, well, I have faith in God, I just don't know if I can believe this scripture. No, 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 no. The Word of God and God, they are one. In fact, John 1:1, Jesus said He is the Word. He's the Word of God made flesh. So if you're trusting the Word of God, you're trusting God. You have faith in the Word, you have faith in God. It's a package deal, right? Like if I tell you something and you have faith in what I said, I take that as you have faith in me. Are you following me? It's so simple it kind of goes over the head, right? But listen to this. God is moved by faith in the Word of God, which is also faith in Him. He's not moved by spiritual manipulation. God cannot and will not be manipulated. Amen? And we know that faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God on something, you can't have faith, and that's why a lack of knowledge can invite destruction into your life, because you can only have faith for something that you know belongs to us in the Word of God. Amen? That's why I said connect your prayer request with evidence from the Word. It's got to be connected. If you want a powerful prayer life, connect it to the Word of God. Amen? By the way, the Holy Spirit will never violate the Word of God. He will never ask you to do something that's against the Word of God. All right? I'm on my last page. It's a little shorter today. It's 8 pages, right? All right. But my point is this. God responds to prayers that are connected to and rooted in His written Word. Do you want answers to your prayer? Connect them to the Word of God. Everything in this life for the Christian comes down to your attitude on the Word of God. How much of the Word of God is integrated into your life? Is it at the very foundation? Is it at the center? Do all things spring forth from the Word? Thank you. Or is the Word of God just one little branch out here? All right? The Word of God needs to be the very center. It needs to be the priority. It needs to be the treasure of your life. Everything needs to revolve around the word. Now listen to this. According to Psalm 103, angels and ministering spirits in the kingdom of God respond to those who give voice to the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Everybody in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of darkness responds to the word of God. It carries power. It carries weight. Amen? Everything in the spirit realm and natural realm is affected and moved by the word of God. You could say it this way, your agreement with the word of God. If you're in agreement with the word of God, you have faith in the word of God. And it's the power of faith that moves things. That's the power of faith that can move mountains. Amen? So, again, the word of God must be your solid foundation. When the enemy tries to come against you, use the word of God against him. Right? Don't just sit there and cry and all that. No, use the word of God. Just like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted, right, by the enemy. He said, it is written. He came back at the enemy with not just his opinion. He spoke the written word of God. And Jesus did that to give us an example of how to fight our spiritual battles. Listen to this. Our spiritual authority against the enemy is only effective when we know what the word says and we operate in faith with the word. That's the only time our spiritual authority is truly effective. You know, if we think about this, if we didn't have the written word of God, we wouldn't know the level of authority that we have against the kingdom of darkness. We would be totally ignorant of it. The word of God is a revealer. It reveals so many things. And then we have the Holy Spirit, the author of the word, who lives in us, and he's our teacher. And he says, you know what? You get into the word. As you get into the word, I'm going to help you expound on and understand the word. I'm going to show you how to take the word and how to apply it into every area of your life. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. So, church, I want to encourage all of you to cherish, take great delight in, read, feed on, study, and meditate on the written word of God because of this reason. It truly is the golden key that will unlock the blessings, the favor, and prosperity in your life that belongs to you through this new and better covenant. Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on down. Talking about the foundation of the word. Come on, we shall not be moved if we build every area of our life on the word of the living God. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Do not leave this building without doing it. It's like playing Russian roulette with your life, because if you leave and you without doing it and you don't make Jesus Lord of your life, the moment you take your last breath, it's game over. Yeah, but I'll do it later. Yeah, what if you die? What if you take your last breath? You die before that happens. It's hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Don't risk it. Amen? So if you never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come on down right now and just meet up with one of the prayer team members and say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Now, this one is connected to the message. If you felt backslidden, you have not been making the Word of God the very foundation of your life, but you felt convicted today, and you're feeling that hunger and desire, that craving for the Word, I want you to come down right now and pray with one of our prayer team members and say, Pastor James's message moved me today. And I'm responding to the Holy Spirit right now on the inside of me. And I want more in life. I want to be blessed. Amen? Now, maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, or you have and you haven't prayed in tongues. You want prayer? Come on down, and we'll help you with that. You need prayer for anything else? Come on down. Now, tonight is the Living Waters Chapel business meeting. So what are we talking about? Business, right? How many of you want to see the financials? We're going to be talking about projects maybe that we're looking at doing, so we want input from our members, amen? So if you want to come to that, it's at 5 o'clock, right? 5? And then we're going to have a meal after. Is the sign-up sheet still in the back? Or okay. Huh? She took it down? Okay. Okay, well, you're out of luck. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to come, just let us know. Because the reason we did the sign-up sheet is so we knew we could have enough food. If not, just bring a McDouble from McDonald's and hang out with us. Now, all right, guys. I love you all. Those who are coming tonight, we'll see you later. And if not, we got things going on all week. Amen. So grab a paper and come on back. If you need me, you know where to find me. And remember, make the Word of God the very foundation of your life. Get into it. Love you all. See you soon.